Decide to be immune to criticism. Criticism is everywhere. No doubt you have already gotten your fair share of it. Some of it may be warranted, but a lot of it should probably be ignored. That can be difficult to do. However, you must decide to become immune to criticism. Decide to grow a thicker skin. If you want to be successful and really grow your business and boost your profits, you simply cannot need the approval from others about how you operate your business. Very simply, the only folks you need to please are your paying customers. And what they have to say is really the only thing you should be listening to in the first place. Most of the other criticism and noise you hear does nothing for your business. If you choose to listen to it, you have pointed yourself in the direction of Squishyville and are most definitely headed that way. I believe some entrepreneurs let criticism cloud their judgment and, for or worse, alter the way they do business. They're afraid of what others think of them, and they are also afraid of failure. The funny thing about failure is that it is often parallel success. Too often, success and failure are depicted as opposites. The road sign to success points one way, and the sign to failure points in the opposite direction. In fact, those roads usually overlap for a period of time. There's a story after story of famous people who reached success by failing. When they hit a roadblock, instead of traveling in the opposite direction, they stick to the road they believed would lead them to success until they reached the fork, the place where success and failure finally diverged. That's when they reach success. Think about these examples. Henry Ford went broke 5 times before he succeeded. Albert Einstein's teacher described him as mentally slow, and the University of Bern rejected his PhD dissertation as irrelevant and fanciful. Walt Disney was fired from his newspaper job for lack of ideas, and like Ford, he went broke several times before building Disneyland. Louis Pasteur ranked 15 out of 22 in chemistry. Douglas MacArthur was denied admission to West Point 2 times before being accepted. Babe Ruth, once the record holder for home runs, was also the record holder for strikeouts. I could fill this entire book with examples of famous successes that were finally achieved because the individual refused to give up and refused to believe that success lay in the opposite direction from which they were traveling. They believed in their ideas and they stuck to them. They refused to give up, and most importantly, they were immune to criticism. While most folks don't want to fail, and no entrepreneur sets out to fail, it happens. Accept it, learn from it, and move on. Don't be afraid of failure, and don't let a fear of what other people will think of you or say of you fail to stand in your way. In the fall of 2012, Penn State was starting its football season under a new head coach for the first time since 1966. More than 4 decades, Joe Paterno was the face of the Penn State football program. However, Penn State endured a tumultuous end to the previous season, including Paterno's firing in the wake of the Jerry Sandusky scandal. Bill O'Brien was hired in the offseason to lead the Nittany Lions. What they needed was to get 2012 season off to a good start and to put the difficulties of the previous season behind them. What they got was a home opener loss to the Ohio Bobcats, letting an 11-point halftime lead slip away. The place kicker, Sam Ficken, kicked 2 successful extra points, okay for his first outing as the starting place kicker. Next, they traveled to Charlottesville in Virginia to play against UVA, a game that many estimated should have been reasonably an easy win. The game hinged on field goals, and Ficken went 1 for 5 and made matters worse by missing an extra point. Penn State lost that game 17-16. One news story summed up his performance. Worst game I've ever seen of a place kicker in my life. 1 to 5 on field goals. Missed a 20-yarder. Missed a 30-yard game winner. Pretty much missed every which way possible. And none of them were close either. All were insta-shanks. Similar stories abounded on sports pages and across the internet. But what was even worse was the firestorm that was unleashed on him via social media. "Don't come home, Ficken. You suck, Sam. How did you miss a pat? Should have been a gimme. You cost us the game." And that's just scratching the surface. A lot of it is unprintable, or certainly things I'm not going to read here. And a lot of it came from his peers, other students, but not teammates. These scathing comments were piled on a young man who was still a few months shy of his 20th birthday. Did he buckle? Did he cave to the criticism? Did he quit? No. In an interview with FightOnState.com later that season, he said it was a little rough on Twitter back then, referring to the post-UVA game comments, and then added, "I don't really care what people think who have no idea what my ability level is and who don't really know me. All I need are my teammates, my coaches, my family, and friends. I just didn't really pay any attention to it. It was out there, but you can't dwell on any of that." Sam decided to become immune to criticism. This young man decided to be successful, and he ended his career placing first in the Big Ten Conference for field goals made that year and fourth in the NCAA overall for the same statistic. He never missed an extra point in his last season, including the walk-off game winner in the Pinstripe Bowl. As I write this, Ficken is the leading NFL draft prospect for place kickers. If a not yet 20-something young man can stand up to the very public, scathing, and far-reaching criticism, you as an entrepreneur can certainly follow his example and do the same. Decide to be immune to criticism and be successful instead. Let me talk about fear of success. A fear of success can be just as real as a fear of failure. Maybe you worry about what other people will think of you when you gain success and wealth. For some, the fear of success can be worse than the fear of failure. They fear the sustainability of success after they reach it, or they fear the imposter syndrome, believing that they really didn't deserve success no matter how hard they've worked for it. There can be a lot of guilt associated with the fear of success, and psychologically the reaction is the same as the fear of failure. Like fear of failure, one of the components in the fear of success is worrying about what other people will think. You have to become immune to what other people think. Here's what Coach Melanie says about the fear of success. "I've seen people limit their success for this one. They're afraid that they're going to lose their life or something else important in their life if they become too successful. So it could be, I'm afraid I'll lose my time freedom. I'm afraid that I'll lose respect from people. I'm afraid that I'll lose love from someone if I'm too successful." Imagine you have a rubber band around your waist, and that part of you that starts to become more successful starts to stretch the rubber band. Stretching the rubber band, stretching it more, and stretching it out to a certain degree. Then you're starting to make more money than you ever thought possible with your dream business. And then you realize, oh my gosh, but what about John? What will he think of me if I'm more successful? I don't want my dad to be mad and think that I'm not loyal to him. I'm starting to worry. I'm starting to lose my time. I've never been this happy, but how can I possibly sustain this? Then all of a sudden, the rubber band snaps back, and you're right back to where you were. What we've created is this dynamic where we can't really grow because we haven't learned to cut the rubber band. Dr. Carey shared with me her struggles with her own fear of success and what she did to decide to get beyond that. Here's Dr. Carey. "I've had a lot of head trash, but specifically it's about my struggle with the fear of success. I've always been an introvert. I liked being alone, blending into the background, and I like being a nobody. But in order to grow my practice, I had to get over this. Writing my first book, I only had the concept and started having a paralyzing fear of success, afraid of all the things a successful book would bring: interviews, notoriety, publicity. What if Oprah or Dr. Oz calls me? I don't even like the idea of more people looking at my website. It's crazy, but this is the reality of the fear of success head trash. This was stopping me from achieving my goal of writing my first book. I brought my fear of success to my mastermind group and could barely even talk about it. But they helped me through it. and told me I was normal and that they also struggled with this. Knowing that other entrepreneurs like me had the same fear was like lifting a weight off my shoulders. Just really, really brave and powerful words from Dr. Carey. And I remember that call. And thankfully, there was a lot of people in my mastermind group that did reach out and support her. That's a very powerful part of being in such a great group. You know, folks, opinions are everywhere. There's no shortage of opinions. We all have them. Lots of them. There are a lot of people with no qualms about sharing their opinions, too. Just ask Sam Ficken. Let me tell you something. There's only one opinion in the world that counts when it comes to running your business, and that's your customers, or more importantly, your paying customers. Those people who are giving you money are the only ones who truly count. What they say matters, and that's what you should be listening to. That's also what you should decide to listen to. Listening to the rest of the noise leads you directly to Squishyville. Very often, our peers, our friends, our families, business associates, and the people we hang out with will share their opinions about what you're doing, how you're growing, how you're marketing. These people probably don't understand how to run a business and how to market a business unless they're entrepreneurs themselves. They don't understand why you make the decisions you do. They don't understand what, but that doesn't even stop them from sharing their opinions, even though they don't understand. And regarding place kicker Sam Ficken, I have no doubt that those who criticized him couldn't kick a ball 10 yards. You'll hear things like, oh, that's ugly. I don't like that. That doesn't make sense. Why are you doing that? Why are you hanging out with this person? I'm not so sure that's really working for you. I've heard it all, folks, and I decided to become immune to it. My business is successful. The people who make those kind of comments don't really know or understand my approach. They're just forming their own opinions, and they're certainly entitled to them. We all are. I simply don't put any stock in their opinions. I nod politely, I am immune to their criticism, and I go on growing about my business. Let me correct that. And I simply move on growing my dream business and living the life I want. That's exactly what you should be doing, too. Additionally, it doesn't help you or your business when you are with those who are critical. It stunts your growth to surround yourself with negativity. Here's some more words from Coach Melanie about success and relationships. I think this is another element of mindset. I think the more successful we get, if our mindset is still in a weak state, we become very vulnerable to the influences of other people around us. We need to strengthen our inner game, so no matter what's going on around us, we are not reacting to that part of the world. We are responding and staying in alignment with what intention we've set for success. This is one of the single greatest problems for entrepreneurs because our business is so directly aligned with our performance. If we do not have the environment for success, like the friendships and communities we're surrounding with, we're going to struggle achieving success. If the vibration of our environment does not match the internal vibration that we're operating at, for example, I'm on fire, I'm going to keep moving, I've got massive action, I'm doing a lot of stuff that I'm going to accomplish. If those are your internal vibrations and they're not being matched with people on the outside who have more of a lack or poverty thinking, these external forces are going to bring you down. You cannot be out of alignment with your environment. To achieve optimum performance, you have to be in an environment that pulls you up to the next level. This is a new concept for a lot of entrepreneurs. The light bulb goes on and they think, oh my gosh, I know when I'm around so-and-so, I feel like a train wreck afterwards. I feel as if they've sucked the life out of me. Some people unconsciously limit their focus and what they'll do because they don't want to not fit in with their friends. It's about mentors, communities, support systems, teams that pulls us up so that we are challenging ourselves to operate at higher level of standards, at higher level of performance, a higher level of activity, a higher level of leveraged focus, where we're doing things so there's minimal effort for maximum result. And that's when we're truly on fire. Great words from Coach Melanie. You know, folks, over the years, I've developed what I call a two-stage filter, and it's a skill or an action step that I want to share with you now to help you become immune to criticism. This is something you develop internally, and you may have to work at it for a period of time to truly hone the skill, but it's certainly worth your time and effort to do so. This filter is the best way to handle any criticism that comes your way. You know what I mean? When you hear something that's a criticism, a negative opinion or a comment or some sort that gets your gut turning and it just starts your brain turning it inside out and you start to think, uh-oh, this person doesn't like what I'm doing. I wonder if he or she is right. Uh-oh. As soon as you hear yourself thinking that sort of question or doubting thought or doubting your own judgment and ability, I want you to put that comment through the two-step filter. First, evaluate the person's expertise in the area in which she's providing the criticism or negative feedback. Let's say you've developed an ad for a direct marketing campaign with a big flashy headline or some kind of unusual attention-getting picture. And the comment is, ooh, that won't work. That's ugly. No one will get this. You're making a big mistake. That's just not good. First, I want you to evaluate their expertise in direct mail marketing. And guess what? Most likely, they don't have any. She's simply offering her opinion, which by her estimation is accurate. I know otherwise, so I decide to ignore her negative comments. Now, if I heard that sort of comment from a colleague who I know is a direct marketing whiz, I'd pay close attention. Otherwise, immunity it is. The second part of the filter is to evaluate to what extent you trust and value the person who's making the criticism or the negative comment about your idea. If you do trust and value this person, if she's made a constructive and worthwhile criticism in the past, maybe you should take notice. If not, it's time to put up your immunity wall. If what you hear comes from someone who's neither an expert nor someone you trust, it's just needless noise. It's the stuff that swirls around you every day because everybody's got an opinion on just about everything. Several years ago, I had a situation in which I really struggled to put up my immunity wall. It was shortly after I started my speaking career. You remember the one I had previously convinced myself I didn't need, only to accept that if I wanted to grow, speaking was a must. You get the idea. You've probably noticed that the caricature I use of myself at the start of each chapter. I also use that in other literature, newsletters, and to a degree, it's part of my brand. So there I was, getting ready to deliver a speech. And I was about 30 to 60 seconds from actually taking the stage. I was standing off to one side while the host of the event introduced me. Projected up on the screen during the introduction was my caricature as part of my PowerPoint. As I waited to be introduced, some guy scurried up next to me and whispered, "Hey, Jim, I find that cartoon of you really disturbing." Now, I'll admit, my silent reaction was, "Oh my gosh, disturbing. I wonder if other people find it disturbing. Why didn't anybody tell me it's disturbing? Disturbing, oh my gosh." I got discombobulated very quickly in my own mind, and it was a real challenge for me to just get myself on straight. But not anymore. I've decided to ignore the opinions of others every time I put myself out there. If I had honed this skill of applying this two-step filter at the time of this disturbing comment, I would have known that this guy was just someone whose opinion I didn't value and was not someone who had earned my trust. If this scenario were to play out today, my response would be, "Hey, thank you. I'm getting ready to go on stage. Please sit down," or something like that. If you find yourself listening too close to what other people are saying, start working on developing your own two-step filter. If what you're doing is working for you and working for your business, if you're bringing in more customers and growing, that's the only measure that matters. Develop a thick skin, become immune to criticism, and keep growing your dream business to live the lifestyle you want and deserve.